Psalm 139, verse 14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, 14. Psalm 119, 73. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Psalm 119, 73. 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. And John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. We deal with two major subjects today. The first one is the big mistake continues in Genesis chapter 16, verses 3 through 12. And then the second service, we'll deal with Abram, the spiritual leader. And after that spiritual leader comes a question mark. We do not have it in the bulletin, but I'd like for you to write in your bulletin a question mark behind the last word in the announcement of that message for today in the second session. The first session again, the big mistake continues in Genesis 16, verses 3 through 12. The second session, Abram, the spiritual leader, question mark, Genesis 16, 3 through 12. And then on Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with the subject of Hagar. Many of you perhaps have analyzed Hagar. Perhaps some of you have not. I believe it is absolutely essential that we take a look at Hagar. We'll see a little bit about her in the sessions today. Before we begin our scripture reading, we're going to bow for a moment of prayer, asking God to guide us in these moments, to be sure that we're in harmony with Him as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that You have informed us that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're aware of the fact that there's no way that we can properly receive the Word of God if our hearts are not properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we spend these moments in prayer, so that we'll be able to, during these moments, receive what the Spirit of God and the Word of God has for us. We're thankful indeed that You have given us this magnificent book, the inspired Word of God. There are so many things here for us to learn. And it seems like the more we study and the more we learn, the more we realize that we do not know. And so we're thankful that we have a book like that. There's not another one like it. And so we're thankful for the ministry of the Word of God. We're thankful for the ministry of the Spirit of God. We're thankful that You've given us life, that You've blessed us, that You've made it possible for us to be here now. In these moments, help us to have open hearts and open minds to these magnificent truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our reading with Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." You notice who got the blame for that one, don't you? "Please go in to my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Perhaps I need to stop you and tell you again. Did you notice that Abram listened to the voice of his wife. Verse 3, and after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went in to Hagar, she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. Verse 6 of chapter 16 of Genesis, but Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid is in your power. Let me stop you and let you look at that. Abram said to his wife, behold, your maid is in your power. I shall insert, I'm washing my hands of this matter. So here it is, you take it. Do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly. She fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. I stop again to remind you that theologically, I believe that this is what is known as a theophany, which simply means an appearance of Jesus Christ before the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. I know that was a mouthful given to you quickly. A theophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? You think he didn't know? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress. Submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. Well, I have to stop here and ask you, are you really, really paying attention to what this is saying? Now, verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Verse 12 of Genesis 16, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, thou art a God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram's son. And Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. I'm not sure that this is all that valuable to you, but there are surprisingly six men named Ishmael in the Bible. Let me list these quickly for you. There is one Ishmael in the Bible, which is a descendant of Jonathan in 1 Chronicles 8:38. You may want to take the references down at least, because it's interesting to me to see that there are six Ishmaels in the Bible. The first one is a descendant of Jonathan in 1 Chronicles 8:38. The second Ishmael in the Bible is the father of Zebulun, Zebadiah, Zebulah. 2 Chronicles 19:11. The third Ishmael is an officer under Joash in 2 Chronicles 19:11. The fourth Ishmael in the Old Testament is the murderer of Gedaliah. The murderer of Gedaliah, the Babylon governor over the remnant in Judah, found in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 25. The fifth one is a priest who divorced his foreign wife, found in Ezra chapter 10, verse 22. If you want these scripture references, here they are again. 1 Chronicles 8:38, 2 Chronicles 19:11, again 2 Chronicles 19:11, 2 Kings 25:25, and Ezra chapter 10, verse 22. The most famous Ishmael, of course, as all of us know, is the son of Abraham with Hagar. Because of the rivalry between Hagar and Abram's wife Sarai, Hagar and Ishmael were sent away and they end up in the desert, where Ishmael becomes the father of a nation that exists of 12 tribes. And if you're interested in those 12 tribes, they are listed by name in Genesis 25:16. All the names are listed there. The name Ishmael is an interesting name because it is a compilation of two elements in the Hebrew language. It is not my responsibility to go into a long detailed discussion here, but I do need to tell you that the first part of the verb, when the word is used as a verb, is the Hebrew word shama, S-H-A-M-A, which means listen, hear, obey. It emphasizes a sound that's ringing out. Hear, listen, obey. The second part of the word is one with which we're familiar. It is the Hebrew word El, E-L, the common abbreviation of Elohim, which emphasizes the genius of God. So the name Ishmael actually means God hears. I thought that was unique and interesting. I certainly do not desire to be uncouth, rude, or cruel in any way today. But I've had time to go through this in my own thinking, and I think it's only fair for me to be able to share with you some of the unique thoughts that come into my mind. Some of those thoughts are kind of far out. So since you folks are people who are accustomed to things far out, it's not going to hurt me to tell you that the scripture is interesting because it deals with subjects that are far out. When you go to the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will discover that when Ishmael was 13 years old, Ishmael was circumcised. 13 years old. Now, I don't want to carry you too far, and I don't want you to think that I'm being rude, uncouth, and not ministerial. But I do want you to see some things. It's one thing to be circumcised when you are a little bitty baby, only 8 days old. It's another thing to be circumcised, think about this, gentlemen, when you're 13, or when you're 25, or when you're 45. You've got to think with me about this for it to become a reality to you. When he was 13 years of age, Genesis 17:26, Ishmael was circumcised at the same time as all other males in Abram's house, becoming a part of the covenant. And what I see as a mass circumcision. Now, I've been through surgery, and I want you to know that this is entirely different. We're talking about mass circumcision, a mass circumcision surgery operation event. Now, I had to think about this a while. Let's say that there are 100 men and boys in a room with 100 doctors. Well, don't guess that happened. Or 100 practitioners in the medical field other than doctors. Can you just imagine what it would be like? Now, some of your minds are going off in various directions, I know. I'm talking about mass, circumcision. This occurred because his father Abram was inaugurated as Abraham at the age of 99. And then he initiated into the covenant by having himself and his entire household circumcised. It's all in Genesis 17. Now, you folks need to do this with me. Turn to the next chapter. We're going to leave it in just a few seconds, so don't carry it too far. In Genesis 17, verse 26, it says, "In the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son." But what is amazing to me is verse 27 of chapter 17 of Genesis. "And all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him." Now, some of you folks are going to leave hurting today. You ladies are not going to think much about this. It's passing with you, I know. Shame on you for letting us suffer like this and for you to look upon it with such delight. Hello, darling. I'm not carrying you too far because we're going to leave this quickly. I just want you to think with me about this. I want you to understand that when you come to the end of chapter 16, after information has been presented to us about Ishmael, and it says, "Abram now is 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him." Then when you go over to chapter 17, after 13 silent years, 13 silent years, we discover now that Abram is 99 years of age. And he says that the Lord appeared to him again. And the Lord said, "I'm God Almighty. Walk before me and keep yourself in God's plan." It says, "Be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply your seed exceedingly." And what did Abram do? He fell on his face. He fell on his face. And it says then that God talked with him. God talked with him. It's good to get yourself in a position where God can talk to you. How does God talk to you? Does he do it audibly? Does he write on your bedroom wall? God speaks through his word to you and me. And we must open our hearts and minds to his word. And if we do not open our hearts and minds to his word, we'll never get the message. We will live and we will die without knowing what he wants us to do in life. It says God talked with him. saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer is your name going to be called Abram. From here on, it's going to be called Abraham." The reason why the name Abraham means you are a father of a multitude of nations. "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." And on and on and on. How fantastic this is. Perhaps you remember about Ishmael. At the same time that this covenant is being presented to us, God informed Abram that his wife Sarah was going to have a baby. And God told Abram that he would establish the covenant with him through Isaac. And when Abram inquired as to Ishmael's role, let me stop you long enough to tell you that Ishmael was very meaningful to Abram. Some of you are of the opinion that Ishmael perhaps was not all that meaningful to Abraham and Sarai. Let me say it this way. He was meaningful. He was a child that was born. And Abram, of course, loved that boy. Would you, under those circumstances, have loved your son? So God told Abram that he would establish a covenant through Isaac. And when Abram inquired, "What about Ishmael?" then here's what God said. I'm going to read it to you. It's in this chapter. God answers that Ishmael has been blessed and that he will make him fruitful, the scripture says, and will multiply him exceedingly. And then it says, 12 princes shall be from you, and I will make you a nation great. A year later, Ishmael's half-brother, Isaac, was born by Abram to his wife, first wife, Sarah. Most of you are aware of the fact that on the day of feasting, during which Abram celebrated the weaning of Isaac, what happened was Ishmael came on the scene and he began to mock and play with, the scripture says, Isaac. What's interesting in the Hebrew language, we cannot fully comprehend what is being said. It just simply says in essence that on the day of feasting during which Abraham celebrated the weaning of Isaac, that Ishmael came on the scene and he was mocking, he was making fun. And Sarai turned to Abram and said, "Expel Ishmael. Expel Ishmael and his mother. Get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance of Isaac." This proposition was very grievous to Abraham, due to his love for Ishmael. Abraham only agreed when God told him that it was through Isaac that Abraham's offspring would be reckoned and that he would make Ishmael into a nation since he was a descendant of Abraham. You find all this in Genesis chapter 21, 11 through 13. I believe that I have been able to see from a different vantage point. I think we ought to be able to see the total picture, even though we are aware of what our scripture here says about him being a wild donkey of a man. Take a total look, folks. At the age of 14, Ishmael became a free man, along with his mother. You're following along and you're thinking chronologically. Under the Mesopotamian law, their freedom enjoined them from laying claim to any inheritance that Abraham and Sarah had. The Lord's covenant also made clear Ishmael was not to inherit Abraham's house, and that Isaac would be the instrument of the covenant. We know that. Ishmael's father gave him and his mother a supply of bread and water and sent them away. Hagar stayed in the wilderness, the scripture says, of Beersheba, where she too soon ran out of water. And Hagar, not wanting to witness the death of her son, set the boy a distance from herself, and she sat down and began to cry. And God heard the voice of the lad. I thought that was interesting. It doesn't say that God heard the wife, that God heard Hagar's voice. It says God heard the voice, the cry of the lad. He sent an angel to tell Hagar, get up, lift the lad up by hand, hold him, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water from which she drew to save Ishmael's life and her own. And God was with the lad. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness, the scripture says. Genesis chapter 21, 14 to 21. I really believe that it is important that people get things straight. Oftentimes we do not get things straight. The reason is because we don't want to get things straight. Do you realize that? Some of you folks are so concerned about your own opinions and your own conclusions, which is true of all of us, if we're not careful. And we think that God has already okayed our false conclusions. Now, I have to smile when I say this because you're going to get mad at me. And I really don't want you mad at me, and I really don't want to be mad at myself. There have been times when I have drawn conclusions about certain things, and I would be convinced that it had to be that way. And then after research and after study and after prayer, things began to be revealed to me, and I could see that some of my conclusions were not compatible with the true teachings of the Word of God. Has that ever happened to you? Ishmael now, after roaming around in the wilderness for some time, Ishmael and his mother, the scripture says, settled down at a place called the Desert of Paran, P-A-R-A-N. Evidently, she found for him a wife. They had 12 sons who became 12 tribal chiefs throughout the regions from Assyria to the border of Egypt. And if you want those names of the 12 boys and the one girl, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 25. Now, let's go back. We find a big mistake continues. You know what we discovered? We discovered that human impossibilities become God's magnificent opportunities. You ought to write this somewhere. Human impossibilities become God's opportunities. When I look at this situation and there's no baby born, Hagar and Abram are concerned about it. I see in Sarai some self-pity coming on. She's beginning to see that there's a real problem here. She's not seeing in the light of God's vantage point. She's only seeing it in the light of human ideas and conclusions. Seeing a problem is one thing, but seeing it as God sees it is another thing. Would you let me tell you that in recent days I have seen things in my life from my vantage point? I'm not going to go into this, but I've seen things from my vantage point. And I want you to know that I have concluded that my vantage point is really okay. But it turns out sometimes that my vantage point and what I consider is right and okay may not be the overall working plan of God. Have you ever had that happen to you? Sure you have. So, Sarai and Abram look over this situation. She sees a problem, but she's seeing it in the light of the way she sees it. And she comes to the conclusion, since she's somewhat emotional about this thing, and I inserted a thought right there, decisions are not to be made while our emotions are out of control. Think about it. Decisions are not to be made when our emotions are out of control. I see this, that Sarai came to a point where her emotions, perhaps, were out of control. And she says, you know what? We've got to have a baby. And I've already passed menopause. Now, I'm not going to get into that because I don't know all about that. And Abram, you're an old man. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. We've got to work this thing out. And since God hasn't done it, we need to do it. Have you ever heard that before? Since God hasn't done it, we pray that we're going to do it. Oh my. Since God hasn't done it, we must understand that sometimes God hasn't done it because God doesn't want to do it right now. God has better things for us to do right now than for us to see what we want done right now. So I put down here, she was too old to have a baby. Menopause, that was right. She couldn't figure a human way possible to get this thing settled, and that was right. So she had a nice maid who was still young enough to have a baby. Therefore, listen to me, she let her old sinful nature rule in her life to have a human solution to a divine problem. A human solution to a divine problem. We've been here. We've studied this. We're reviewing. She told Abram to go have their promised son by letting Hagar be the mother. I put in my notes here when I reviewed this. Abram should never have another woman. He will be disciplined greatly if he chooses to have another woman. It's God's plan for him to have that one woman. This was a man-made solution. God's perfect plan was his own method of solving the problem. Sarah took on the family responsibilities. Oh, could I have fun with this one? Could I just insert? She became the ruler of the house. Abram, I think what you ought to do, and I'm not going to go there, because you already know that. Oh, she was so sweet. Such determination. Her old sinful nature was in charge. She came to the point where her old sin nature had caused her to consider something being wrong as being right. Are you seeing that? That's the way the old sinful nature works. The old sinful nature will cause a person to think that something that is wrong is right. Right plus wrong is wrong. Wrong plus right is wrong. Wrong plus wrong is wrong. Only right plus right is right. She came to a point where she felt that sin was right. We have a lot of young people, and we have a lot of adults, and many of these young people and adults claim to be born-again believers. They've come to the point in their lives where they've concluded that sin is right. To use sin to accomplish God's will is always wrong. To use sin to accomplish God's purpose and plan is always wrong. Thank you, whoever moved my clock. It's here and I can see it. Someone was so kind as to turn it back on. Thank you. When you folks began to shake your calendar at me, it begins to get me a little concerned. The calendar, when you shake it. Now, when you shake the clock or the watch, that's okay. I can keep on going. But I'm going to move this clock where I can see it. Oh, boy. I've got an hour and 1 minute to go. Oh, this is wonderful. I didn't know preaching could be so much fun. I've enjoyed it all these years, but I'm enjoying it more now than ever. I want to tell you a secret about John McReynolds. He wants me to be sick for days and weeks. Michael McWalters, I started to say McReynolds again. He didn't say it, but he'd be glad for me to be sick again for a few days. He likes to preach too. Do you notice how these guys get up here when I'm not here?
Well, I'm beginning a series.
I've only asked them to preach one time.
Well, I'm beginning to present a series in Romans. Thank you. Thank you, John McReynolds. I know. You want me to be sick again. Mike gets up here and he says, I don't know when I'll be able to preach the rest of this, but this is the first service of many, in essence. You see what I'm saying?
They all want to just keep on preaching. I understand that because that's why I'm here. And I'm going to keep on preaching until you have to carry me away. I've already had several people to volunteer to carry me away. I once said the deacons would carry me away, and one other guy said, I'll join the deacons in carrying you away. It's now time for the break. Let me tell you something, folks. When we get back to the next session, I want to deal with a very interesting presentation of what was taking place right here. This is so fantastic. We've got to see it. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day, your wonderful grace. Help us to realize that the greatest gift that has ever been given to mankind is the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. How fantastic and wonderful that is. When God loved, he loved the world, and when Christ died, he died for everyone. And the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who hear this message today who will believe and trust you as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.